Well, blessed Sunday, and good morning to everybody.
Good morning, Father.
So today, it's a great Sunday, not only because we get to journey through the first Sunday of Lent, but also now, as you see here in the front, we have our candidates, who directly after the homily, we'll send them off, we'll give them a special blessing, and dismiss them to the hall where they continue their classes. So the candidates are those who have already been baptized, but they haven't received their other sacraments of initiation, Holy Communion and Confirmation. And so they're getting ready as we now journey towards the Easter Vigil, where they're coming to full communion with the Catholic Church. So we praise you and we welcome all of you. And that's the cool thing about being a priest, one of the amazing things, is that we get to journey with you throughout your lives. Not just the joyful occasions, all the big and the small that make up human life, but to walk with you. Just for example, Frank Bellucci. Are you here? Where are you? There you are, Frank. Everybody, this is Frank. He's just sitting here behind there. He's raising his hand. He's embarrassed now. I just texted him before Mass. By the way, prepare yourself. I'm going to embarrass you. Well, first of all, Frank, congratulations to you and your wife, Mary. They just had their fifth child, our newest parishioner, 2 or 3 days old. Praise God, huh? His wife, Mary, is at home under doctor's orders to rest. They had a home birth, and so she's resting nicely and comfy. And what's amazing about this, why I'm calling Frank out, I'm so proud of you, Frank. I first met Frank when I was still at St. Joseph's, back in 2015. I don't remember, but you made an appointment with me to meet with me during my office hours because you were having a hard time. If I remember the details correctly, Frank came into my office a defeated man. You had just broken up with a previous relationship, and you were trying to figure out which way in life to go, and you were just, you know, when life knocks the wind out of you, you're lost. And we chatted in my office for about an hour. And then I invited you to, at the time, and we're still in the ministry, still active, to our To the Heights ministry. It's a young adult ministry where every month we take a group of young adults and we go hiking. It's an opportunity for young Catholics to get in fellowship with other young Catholics and to grow in our faith. And I said, hey, Frank, we're going to Point Reyes. We're going on a hike. Join us. You got nothing else to do? Come. Unbeknownst to him, another young lady had reached out to me from Boston through social media. Father, I'm moving to the area. And I want to get in contact with the other young Catholics. Reached out to her. Her name was Mary. And I said, we're going to Point Reyes. We're going on a hike. You should come. It'll be perfect for you. And we'll be on that hike that Mary would catch the eye of Frank. And their love would begin there. Now they're married. 5 children later, Rosa, Margaret, Anna, Dominic, and now Cecilia. How beautiful to see this. That sad man sitting in my chair. What is God going to do? I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Oh my gosh, it's hopeless. Ah, despair. All the silly lies that the evil one gives us, doesn't he? The most powerful weapon that the ancient foe, our ancient enemy from the very beginning, and we're introduced to him in the book of Genesis today or in the gospel. The single lie, and this is so important for all of us, and especially for you candidates as you're journeying closer into full communion with the church. The lie that he uses against every single one of us
is that we don't need God. That's the slithering lie. We don't need Him in our lives. We don't need to pray. We don't need to go to Mass. We don't need to go to confession. We don't need the sacraments. Do it on your own is the attractive lie from the very beginning. Look in the gospel. The slithering serpent appears and he turns to Eve, our first parents, and Adam. Did God really tell you that? You see, the lie. Separate yourself from your father, the one whom, as we heard in Genesis, who fashioned us out of the clay and breathed into us. In Hebrew, that word breath is profound. It is ruach, the very breath of God's divine life in us. And it is that very breath of divine life that the evil one says, you don't need it. Do it yourself. The threefold lie here in the gospel as our Lord now enters into the desert. How fittingly perfect during Lent, because we will also enter into the desert with Jesus. And notice the lie, again, notice the lie. Jesus is hungry, fasting for 40 days, which is why fasting is so critical for us during Lent. Fasting, where we make ourselves weak on purpose. Why? Because as Catholics, we're sad. No, because we know we need a deeper strength. Turn these stones into bread, the serpent says. As if our passions, our physical desires is what defines us. Jesus says, no, man does not live on bread alone. He tried the same technique with Adam and Eve, and our Lord resisted. And then now the serpent increases the intensity of the temptation. Throw yourself off the parapet of the temple. Send yourself up to the highest point of the temple and throw yourself off. Make yourself a spectacle. He appeals to his pride. But our Lord, now famished and weak, says no. Shall not put your God to the test. The serpent says, all right, Jesus, you're good. And now let me entice you with the final temptation. Shows him the splendor of the kingdoms of the world. Power. Oh, power. Is an addictive elixir. Power people will kill to achieve, will lie, will cheat, will do anything. Power. Give me more of that power, because anybody knows when you have power, oh, it feels amazing. Oh, our chest is puffed up a little bit. Our eyes on me, my mere whim is now dictates reality. Power. Jesus says, no. No. The beauty in the season of Lent, as we now struggle with our Lord, with him in the desert, is that we make ourselves weak by fasting, by praying, by giving more towards charity, almsgiving. To train ourselves that it is God, He is our only answer.
I was reminded of this just a few days ago after I called you, Frank, to congratulate you when I heard about Mary's birth, the healthy birth of Cecilia. We had a good conversation. The day before that, I was on the phone with another mother. Because part of being a priest as well is now walking with you during your hard times. I get another frantic call on the emergency line. Somebody from back east. Father, can you go to Kaiser? My brother has been in an accident, a terrible accident. He's in the ICU. Can you go visit him? And of course we did. And she said, after you visit him, can you call my mom and let her know? And so after we visited him, Father Carlos went. He came back and reported. Called the mom. And she said, Father, did you visit my son? I said, yes, we did. We gave the anointing of the sick and the apostolic blessing. Apostolic blessing is the prayer that a priest will use upon you when you are at the end. It's a beautiful prayer, calling upon the authority of the Catholic Church given to us by Jesus Christ, preparing a soul to stand before judgment. It's a powerful prayer. And we will rush to your side when you call us to give you that blessing. And as I hung up the phone, I started reflecting upon that mother. Because here is her mom, the mother, all the way across the country. Her son in ICU. Could you imagine how helpless she feels? Because what is the instinct of a mother or a father when their child is sick or hurting? You go to their bedside. Immediately you go. Why? Because your highest duty as a parent is to take care of your baby. No matter how old we get, we're always your babies. And here she is, clear across the country. But notice her instinct. Call the priest. Why did she do that? And as we anointed one of her seven children. Because she understands that it is Jesus Christ that she needs in her darkest hour. That is the essence of why we enter into the desert with Lent. Why I'm so happy for you candidates as you journey towards the full communion of the church. Because you will receive the gift of confirmation, the power of the Holy Spirit and all of its gifts. And then most spectacularly, you receive Jesus in Holy Communion. When we enter into the Catholic Church and live the fullness of the sacraments of life, what we're saying is, Jesus, I need you. That's it, right there, in utter simplicity. Jesus, I need you. I do not believe in the serpent's lie. I don't care about his temptations. Just you. And during Lent, that's why we enter into the desert.